Good morning.
Good morning.
Please open your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we shall read verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his requests. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the written word. We pray that the Holy Spirit himself will be here to interpret it to our hearts and help us, Father, to put into practice whatever you teach us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In many parts of the world, names have meanings. And I'm sure in this country it's the same as in Nigeria, in Kenya, in other parts of the world. For example, my wife, who is sitting there, Jane, her middle name is Atieno. And she's from the Luo tribe in western Kenya. The meaning of the name Atieno is a girl born at night. And you can guess it yourself. A boy born at night is called Otieno. So a girl is Atieno and the boy is Otieno. I come from Nigeria originally, from the Yoruba tribe. And we have many, many names named after circumstances of birth, just like in Kenya. For example, a name Kosoko means we no longer have hoes for digging graves in this family. And it is a name given to a child that was born after many had died. They had buried so many children in that family, and they are saying, "Please, we have had enough. There are no more hoes for digging the graves." In among the Jewish people, the names have meanings as well. And today we are going to focus on one of them, the name Jabez. Jabez. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. Some call it Jabez, but I think it's Jabez. I'm not an English specialist, so you pardon me if I say Jabez. Now, when you read the book of Chronicles, especially the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, they are actually merely genealogies, starting from Adam right through to the end of the life of King David. And it is just names and names and names. And if you are not careful, if you are doing a study in the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles, you'll be tempted to just skip those first 9 chapters. And if you do that, you will miss some gems that God had packed into just these 2 verses that we read. They are really gems. And I hope that the Holy Spirit himself would actually bring out those gems for each one of us today. And so I've titled this message, it's about Jabez. I've titled it, "What is in a Name?" What is in a name? And I would like to focus on 3 main points. The first one is, Jabez was an honorable man. Secondly, Jabez took prayer seriously. And thirdly, Jabez did not want to live in the past. Let's look at each of those 3 points in detail. Jabez was an honorable man. Jabez was described for us in 1 Chronicles 4:9 as more honorable than his brothers. But what does it mean to be honorable? On this occasion, I consulted not the Oxford Dictionary, so please pardon me. I consulted the Webster's Dictionary. And according to Webster's Dictionary, honorable means up to a standard of respectability, admirable, illustrious, being of high eminence or dignity, characterized by integrity, ethical, and upright. Now, in Nigeria, especially during the 1960s and 1950s, members of parliament really liked to use the title honorable. So if somebody was elected into parliament, it would be honorable so and so. But some even like to let's say, make it more glowing by calling themselves Right Honorable. So we had in Nigeria many honorables and right honorables. But the unfortunate thing is that whether they were right honorable or honorable, many of them were known to be corrupt and really looking after themselves instead of the interest of those who elected them. In contrast to these parliamentarians who were corrupt, not all of them were, some were, in contrast to them, Jabez was truly honorable. He was more honorable than his brothers. Now, on Wednesday, 21st of February, 2018, the well-known American evangelist Billy Graham died at the ripe age of 99 years. It is estimated that he preached the gospel of Jesus to a total of 215 million people at live events during his lifetime. Now, one of the penetrating questions he used to ask was mentioned actually by, I think, our pastor recently. One of the questions he used to ask is, if you are arrested because you claim to be a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you? I would like to add to this question another one. Will any of the witnesses testify that you were an honorable person? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. He stood out above the crowds. He was more devoted to God than his brothers. At least that is the implication. Can that be said of you and I today? Are we more honorable than our brothers and our sisters? How honorable are we in our business transactions and in our private lives? How honorable are we in our relationships with family members, with colleagues in the office, with neighbors, and also with others that we meet, even within the church? How honorable are we? Now, it's very easy for us to make generalizations, especially when we sit by the television in our homes, we are drinking a cup of coffee and we turn on, or tea rather, and we turn on the television and you see that in the news they say, oh, this one has been arrested for corruption, this one has been caught in immorality. It's very easy for us to say, oh, the world is very corrupt and immoral. But the question is, are you part of that problem? Am I part of that problem? We have to ask that question. It is said that when you point a finger at somebody, many of the others are actually pointing towards you yourself. So we need to bring the question home. How honorable are we? How much can people actually look at our lives and say, yeah, indeed, this person is not part of the corruption in the world? But you yourself know best. You know yourself. So you can say whether or not you are part of the problem. But I would like to emphasize that it is not easy to be honorable, because we have a sinful nature. And if you and I are being honest, we are weak in many ways. But I want to say that we need help. But praise God, we have help 24/7. And the help is there for us. We just need to tap into it. Jesus has forgiven us. So all our filth, all our guilt, all our sins, he has carried on him on the cross. It's finished. It's done. The help is there. So he can clean us up on a daily basis. But not just that. God has put into those who have come to Jesus the Holy Spirit to empower us, to strengthen us, so that we can live the life that Christ expects us to live. On my own, I cannot be honorable. On your own, you cannot be honorable. But through the washing, the blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can indeed be honorable. Therefore, I challenge you today, is the fruit of the Spirit growing in you? Because God has done his own. God has done everything. But is the fruit of the Spirit growing in you? Are you cooperating with God so that that fruit can grow? I must say, on my own, the fruit of the Spirit, I know my weaknesses. When I go to the market with Jane, when we go shopping, I'm not patient enough. When I thought we had finished shopping, that is when Jane will have some additional things she wants to check at the end of the trip, somewhere in the shop. And I'll wait. When she says, oh, she's coming back very soon. Okay, very soon. My very soon is very soon. So I need to really develop patience. If I'm going to be honorable, I need to be patient, to be more patient. So I must say my wife is an ideal test. She's helping me to be patient. She is a very patient person. But God is using her to make me to be patient. So we need to cooperate with God. Let me remind you what the fruit of the Spirit is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You find this in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. May God himself help each one of us to be honorable wherever he has placed us. Let's go to the second point. Jabez took prayer seriously. Now, at least these are indications. I'm making some generalizations. You can read between the lines in the verses. But I think it is true that this man took prayer very seriously. In 1 Chronicles 4:10, we see that indeed, prayer is probably one of the reasons why he was more honorable than his fellow men. He knew that in his heart, that God was the only one who could provide the answer to his pain. Therefore, he cried out to God, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." I sense a desperation in that prayer. I also sense boldness in that prayer. He wanted more from God. Said, "Oh, that you will bless me. Oh, that you will extend my territory." Maybe he needed more land, but being an honorable man, he also wanted blessings, spiritual blessings from God. But he cried out to God. He wanted more. And I ask you this morning, Do you want more from God? Do you really want more? Do you want God to do more with you in your life? I think many of us want more, but I would say wanting more from God means wanting more responsibility. If you are going to extend your territory, you have to work hard. It's not going to come cheap. No, you must be prepared to do something. You must be prepared to move forward. And I would like to say that God, if you really want to be closer to Him, if you want to extend your territory in God, God will make some changes in your life. And you may not like those changes. Those changes might be painful changes. But at the end of the changes, you'll be glad that God actually made the changes. One of the things I like about being a Christian, in a way, is that the day I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord, on March 4, 1968, in Manchester University, that day, I started wearing on my body an invisible sign, visible to me, under new management. Under new management. When you come to Jesus, you must be under new management. But you know, when new management comes in, they normally want to change things. Maybe they want to reorganize this, reorganize that. But their intention is the same. They want things to work better. When you are under the management of our Lord Jesus Christ, He wants things to work better for you. Therefore, are you prepared to be under the management for our Lord Jesus? If you want more from Him, if you want Him to extend your territory, then be prepared for changes. Be prepared for God's management style. The other thing about the prayer of Jabez is that he requested God's hand to be with him. God's hand signifies power, victory, protection, security, creativity, success, etc., etc. Jabez, I think, probably recognized that if his labor would not be in vain, he really needed the hand of God. There are many, many verses of scripture about the hand of God. But this morning I picked only one. And I hope that verse will encourage you in your pilgrim journey. And it is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Praise the Lord for such a promise. Amen. Let us live on promises like this, because our God will keep His promise. It is for you and I to enjoy His powerful, precious hand. Let us this week make sure that this particular verse rings in our hearts, that indeed we have a God who says, "Fear not." He knows what you are going to meet this week, but He's already telling you in advance, "Fear not." He's already taking care of. The problem may be big, it may be small, but He says, "Fear not," because He's ahead of you. And He says, "I will help you." If you tell your children, "I will help you," will they take you seriously? Yes, they will. I think they will. And I believe you will keep your word. God says to you and I this morning, "I will help you." And I believe that. He will fulfill His word. Now, according to 1 Chronicles 4:10, God answered the prayer of Jabez. Yes, We have a God who cares for us and a God who answers our prayers. He has done it again and again in my life, in your life, in the life of others. But I want to tell you that sometimes he surprises us. He does not answer when we want. He does not answer in the way we want. And he might even say no to us. Now, that one is very difficult to handle. When God says no to me, I find it very hard to take. But when he says no, he has a good reason. He has a very good reason. Paul, the apostle, found this in his own experience. He had what was called a thorn in his flesh. Well, you will expect Paul, being such a great follower of God, someone God used so mightily, he asked God to remove it. We will have thought, oh, God would just do it. But no. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 9, we read, three times, this is Paul speaking, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So if God says no to you, remember to take with it, his grace is sufficient for me. God's grace will be sufficient for you if he says no to you. And it will be the best answer for you in your spiritual walk. Now, we all know that prayer is a vital means of communicating with the Heavenly Father. And it is essential in the life of a Christian. But how many of us take prayer seriously? We used to sing a song to children in Nigeria. Maybe you do in this country, I'm not so sure. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. Now, that song, we are singing to the children, but the song is also meant for adults. If we want to grow in Christ, we need to read our Bibles and pray every day. I want to challenge you to look at your prayer life and see if there's any area for you to improve that prayer life. I think it's good to spend more time with the Lord. And just as an announcement, every Tuesdays at 10 a.m. in the church here, we have a prayer meeting. Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Please, if you have the time, come and join us. Come and join us. And let us pray together to our God. And the last and final point I'd like to make is Jabez did not want to live in the past. Jabez did not want to live in the past. As indicated in the footnote of some Bibles, the name Jabez sounds like the Hebrew word for pain. In fact, as we read in 1 Chronicles 4:9, his mother named him Jabez because she gave birth to him in pain. Now, normally, having a baby definitely involves a lot of pain. I watched my wife had give birth to one of our children, and, well, I didn't want to do that again. It was really agonizing. I felt it myself, but I think she felt the pain a lot more than I did. But I really admire ladies. It's incredible. The pain is incredible. So under normal circumstances, the pain of childbirth is enough. But for the mother of Jabez to actually name him Jabez, she must have gone through extraordinary pain during the birth of Jabez. And therefore, this boy Jabez, or this person Jabez, was carrying a name which the colleagues and neighbors and people would say, oh, pain, pain, pain. They'll be calling him pain. I don't want to be called pain. But Jabez was going around, he was called pain, pain, pain. Or his name reminded people of pain. So Jabez prayed a prayer, asking God to help him, not to have harm and pain in future. I think by making such a request, he was in a way saying that he did not want the rest of his life to be spoilt by the painful aspects of his past life. Like Jabez, we must not allow sad events in our past to really spoil our present and our future days. Remember that through Jesus Christ, we can confidently look to the future. One of the songs we sang by the Gaithers, the chorus says, because he lives, that's Jesus Christ, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth living just because he lives. Jesus is alive. Therefore, I can look forward to the future. I can live today and know that I can live tomorrow. Because Jesus has already conquered everything. Everything that could make my life miserable, he has dealt with. All that past, he has taken care of. Today and future, he has taken care of it all. But I want to warn you, gold medal winners in a race are those who fix their eyes on the finishing line. They are not those who keep looking back. I don't know if you are familiar with the story of an Australian runner who actually later became the governor of Victoria in Australia, a runner called John Landy. John Landy. Now, John Landy had a famous race against the British runner Roger Bannister. I'm sure you know Roger Bannister. He was the very first man to break the 4-minute barrier in a mile. And there was a race, a very popular race. And I'd just like to quote for you a short summary of that race. Roger Bannister was the first man in the world to run a mile under 4 minutes in May 1954. The next month, Australian John Landy broke that record by 1.4 seconds. And that's big. That is big. So in August 1954, the two fastest mile runners in the world met for a historic race. And, you know, the media like to coin phrases for such races. So they call this race the Miracle Mile, the Race of the Century, and the Dream Race. Now, during the race itself, John Landy was doing very well. And as he turned the corner for the final lap, he was ahead of Roger Bannister. But there was a thought going on in his mind about where Roger Bannister was actually positioned, how close Roger Bannister was to him. And just towards the end of the race, he just turned to look back. As he turned to look back at Roger Bannister, Roger Bannister did what? He just overtook him and went and got the gold. Someone went to John Landy and asked him long after the race and said, what happened? What happened? And this is what John Landy said. I would have won the race if I hadn't looked back. If I hadn't taken my eyes off the goal. In your race today, on the pilgrim journey today, are you looking back? It's good to learn lessons from the past, but don't let the past spoil your present and the future. Remember the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, 13 to 14. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It is my prayer that God will help each one of us so that the past will not be a burden for us. And I ask you today, are you carrying a baggage from the past? Are you carrying pain from the past that is affecting you? Remember the passage that was read by a pastor? Isaiah 53 verse 4. It says, surely he has taken up our pain. Not just that he has taken up our pain. He said, surely Jesus has taken our pain. Let's not take it back from him. Leave it securely with him. Let Jesus take our pain. Let him take all our baggages, all those things that are weighing heavily on us. Let's give them to Jesus so that we can travel light. Because the journey is long. We can travel light. Let's leave everything with him. So in conclusion, the title of this message is What is in a Name? And we focused on 3 points. Jabez was an honorable man. Jabez took prayer seriously. Jabez did not want to live in the past. It's my prayer that God will help us to be honorable people who take prayers seriously and who do not let the pains of the past spoil their present and the future. If the Lord has spoken to you today and you would like to rededicate your life to Jesus, maybe you're already a Christian, please, I'd like you to do that. Pray and ask God to touch those areas of your life that needs touching and get a new life to move forward, new energy to move forward and really be victorious in your life. But if you have never accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it is whosoever. You can be that whosoever today by coming to him. If you'd like to share anything with me or with the elders or with the pastor, please do so at the end of the service. I will be here if you also want to pray with me or ask me a question. It's my prayer that God would interpret these words to your hearts. Amen.
Thanks, William. That was wonderful. Really spoke to my heart, and I'm sure you've been blessed by God's word this morning. Let's just bow our heads. Let's close with prayer, shall we? Gracious Father, we do thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord God, we thank you that, Lord God, you've not just called us to live honourable lives, but Lord God, you've granted us your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Lord God, that walking with you, that fruit of the Holy Spirit might grow within us. And I pray for each of us that, Lord God, truly we'd have that desire, Lord God, to live lives that, Lord God, are a testimony, an honourable testimony to you and to who you are and to what you've done in our lives. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you've given us this privilege of prayer, Lord God, so that, Lord, the way is open even for people like us to come and, Lord God, to pray to you and to make our request known to you. Lord God, not that we can tell you anything you don't already know, it isn't that, but Lord God, you're a loving Heavenly Father who wants his children to speak to him and have a relationship with him and open our hearts to you. And so, Father, I pray that we would truly take prayer seriously within our own lives, both corporately as a church, but especially as individuals on a daily basis. And Father, I thank you too that, Lord God, we don't have to live our lives carrying baggage from the past. Lord God, we don't have to carry the pains and the hurts that, Lord God, can actually dog our life, can ruin our life. Lord God, we can carry these things around continually. But as Williams reminded us this morning from Isaiah, Jesus has carried our sorrows and our griefs and our pain. And Lord God, and what kind of foolishness is it to take that back and to carry it ourselves? So Father, I pray that we'd follow in the example of Jabez, that Lord God, we would cry out to you, and Lord God, have that desire to move on, and Lord God, to let the past stay in the past. Lord, you've dealt with the past, that Lord God, we might go forward, Lord God, with a new vision and a new aim, and Lord God, keep our eyes on the finishing line. Keep our eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down now the right hand of the Father in the glory. And Lord, I pray that our eyes will be kept upon him. Lord God, there is a great crowd of witnesses around us. Jabez is one of them. Those who went before, those who, Lord God, as it were, ran the race. Not perfect men other than the Lord Jesus, but Lord God, ran the race. And Lord God, I pray that we'd emulate their example. And Lord God, run a good race ourselves, a race that you would be pleased with, laying aside everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily besets us, and run with endurance. Enable us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name.